Remain standing, if you will. Turn to Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. Amen. Well, appreciate that song as well. Amen. We need to be telling it everywhere. Everywhere. Mountains, valleys. Amen. Country, city, we need to be telling that Jesus Christ is born. Amen. It is the good news, and people still need to hear it. Miss Stephanie talking about her uncle and his health situation, and maybe emotional situation, but the great need of his spiritual situation. And we need to be in prayer. We ought to pray. God, give us a burden for somebody and help us to not give up till we see them come to Christ. Amen. And don't give up praying. Don't give up talking to God and talking to them if you can. Amen. And don't give up trusting that God might save them by His grace. He's still willing to, I believe. And I know He's still able to. Amen. Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 1. And we've been reading this text now for some time. We're going to look again. Zero in on verse number 3 again. I think I'm going to finish up verse 3. This morning, and the thought of the first attack of the temptation. And this will be the third part of that. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Brother Bell, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for the day and the privilege of being able to come out.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Lord, that you'd help Brother Shepherd as he brings the message you've laid upon his heart.
Yes,
and ask, Lord, to listen attentively. May the Holy Spirit of God have free course in every heart today. I pray, Lord, for those that are away from us, that you'd keep them safe and bring them back to us when the time comes. Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for the good testimonies and the grace of God on our lives. We ask and pray these things in Christ's name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't think my message will be long this morning because we've covered quite a bit of ground in looking at really giving the introduction about the temptation and things such as that. But looking at verse number 3, as I said, this will be our third time looking at it. I don't want just to drag it out, but I'm not embarrassed to say the same thing again because that's how we learn. That's how we pick up things is being told again and again and again. Matter of fact, that's how we know that men are still learning. Ladies, you have to tell them two or three times. You can say amen right there. And it is the truth. And sometimes you think you told us, you didn't even tell us. We know better. Amen. We know you didn't tell us. Amen. But anyway, it doesn't hurt for us to be told again some especially important things from the Scripture. And our Lord wasn't ashamed to repeat Himself. Matter of fact, God gave the law to Moses, and then 40 days he broke the tablet, came back, gave it to him again. Amen. He gave the law in the book of Exodus, and then in the book of Deuteronomy, the whole book's just repeating the law, just repeating it again to them. And we could go over and over talking about
how that God does repeat. And so I'm not ashamed to do that, but I'm not trying. My goal is definitely not to drag it out and see how many messages we can get out of this one text, whatever. But there's some thoughts that I like to deal with. And I really thought about moving on, and I thought, no, there's some things today I want to tack in that we've not. But having looked at it, I would like to go back and just pull out some things that we can point out. I mentioned, first of all, that I do not believe that these three instances of temptation, these three statements that are made, are all encompassing of the things that our Lord faced in that wilderness time. I believe that He was tempted of the devil all 40 days that He was in that wilderness. But I mentioned last Sunday an idea, and I use an analogy that I think is very possible and makes good sense to me, that perhaps the devil was not there personally all 40 of those days, but that maybe his imps, his lesser devils, however that you want to say that, the privates in his army and then moved on up in rank, attempted to tempt our Lord, and yet found no chink in His armor. Therefore, after these 40 days' time, Satan himself came unto the Lord. That you can see that when you combine verse number 2 and verse number 3 together. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, you go right on verse 3, the tempter came to Him. So maybe after those 40 days, and nothing had been found that could find a fault in our Lord, then the devil decides to ratchet it up a little bit more, to turn the heat up a little bit more. And so he shows up in person to tempt our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we began looking at verse number 3 and spoke, first of all, about the devil's big if. That was the first stone thrown. If thou be the Son of God. Amen. The first word out of the devil's mouth had a question. First word, if thou be the Son of God. I'll say, don't listen to any of the devil's words. From his first word to his last word, don't listen to any of his words. Amen. Stay away from listening to the devil. But I pointed out that this was, I believe, the devil's attempt to try to sully the character of our Lord and Savior by infusing in him the sin of distrust, the sin of doubting God, doubting what God the Father had said. And that is the devil's strategy, to get Christ to doubt God's Word and to doubt God's love. I said to you that that's what he does to you and I many times. He attempts to get us to question God's Word, put a doubt there, and he gets us to question the love of God. Amen. And so that's a big thing, to be honest with you, the big if that the devil presents. Satan advised Christ that he could overcome his hunger and that he could prove his godhood all in one fell stroke by just commanding that these stones be made bread. A simple miracle, no doubt, to Christ. And yet, if he had done that, Christ would have given in to unbelief of God's words. Amen. Our Lord says in his statement, and we'll deal with this perhaps next Sunday, when he goes in verse number 4, his answer to him is that more important than bread is God's Word. God's words are more important and more necessary than bread. Amen. Amen. More necessary than our food. So he would have shown disbelief in God's Word. He would have doubted God's love. And he would have disobeyed God's plan for him. Our Lord came to be a man of sorrows. He came to be acquainted very much with grief. And so this was part of the will of God. Then I moved on from thinking about Satan's big if. I began to point out the fact last week how that Satan used something very near at hand that he might tempt Christ with. Actually, it was something which he needed. Amen. It was a need, and Satan was going to use that to assert his tempting power. I pointed out to you how that Satan many times takes a genuine need and then twists it with our human desire and then tells us that it is a duty. You've got to eat. You've got to prove yourself. You've got to advance. All these things that you have to do. Amen. And so the devil is a deceiver. We see that primarily saw it last week in our message, that deception that he used. What he says, sounds good, even sounds true as far as you take it. And yet, he's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's a trickster. Amen. And so we noticed that the deceiver that did not suggest that Christ pray for bread. Our Lord suggests, if you need bread, he said, pray this way, our Heavenly Father, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And he goes, give us this day our daily bread. So our Lord taught us to pray for bread, but the devil did not suggest that he pray for bread. Matter of fact, the devil did not suggest that he ask his Father for bread, but rather that he command these stones to be made bread. I said last week that a humble man would ask for bread, but a haughty man would command bread. Amen. Amen. And we've come to see that, by the way, in the society we live in. There was a time when people would ask for what they need. Now they demand it. What used to be, and we'll say it really, what used to be a, we call it welfare program. It was to help them. What used to be a help has now become a demand, has now become a right. Amen. And so there's that's what the devil suggested to our Lord as well. Well, I said to you that this was the same trick that the devil used on Eve. First he got her to admiring the forbidden fruit. Then he got her to desiring the forbidden fruit. And then he got her to reach out and take or obtain that forbidden fruit. Amen. In this case, he tried to get our Lord to admire bread. He's hungry. Look for bread. And then desire that bread. And then reach out and obtain it, because he did have the ability to obtain that bread if he'd wanted to. Amen. And so in this instance, Satan, in this temptation, tried to divert Christ from his dependence upon the Father to a self-sufficiency. I said last week as well, I think it's important to remind you, that I said that not only was that close at hand that our Lord could have done, and the devil loves to tempt us that way. He loves to get us close to the temptation to make it easier for us to fall into temptation.
Right.
Amen. We could use 1,000 illustrations. Here's one easy one. If David had been in the battle when it was time for kings to go forth to battle, it would have been a lot harder for Bathsheba to have been a temptation to him. I'm not laying the blame on Bathsheba. David was where he shouldn't have been. She probably was where she shouldn't have been. And the devil knew how to put those two things together. Amen. So he used something close at hand. But not only does he use things close at hand, but he likes to use something that we can very easily justify. We can very easily make an excuse for. Well, you know, we need it. Amen. The Lord could have said what a lot of children say, but Daddy, everybody's doing it. Everybody's eating bread. Everybody's doing it. No, everybody's not. My dad used to say, I know two boys that ain't doing it. You and your brother. That's what he'd say. Amen. 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 He'd tell me, and you write this down in your little black book. I always want to tell him I don't have a little black book, but I knew he'd give me something worse than a black book. Amen. Amen. So I never did say that. Amen. But anyway, the devil tried to get Christ away from his dependency upon the Father and get to a place of self-sufficiency. That's really where I ended up my message last Sunday, how that we, in some ways, have the ability to turn our stones into bread. We can make it better with our own two hands. A lot of things the devil will suggest to us that we can do that. And we need to be careful that we don't involve ourselves rather than trust in God. Now, I want to move on to a third thing that I want to deal with. And ended up last week talking about the deceit in the temptation. Today, I want to look at the diversity in the temptation. How wide spanning this temptation was. And I'm going to look at all three of them a little bit, but I'm going to primarily deal with the first one if I can. I said this earlier, and I don't remember if it was last week or the week before. I used Brother Ricky as illustration about being such a great fisherman. By the way, I read this, and I was picking on about, but he said he hadn't been catching nothing of late. I know where there's a fish easy to catch, by the way. Amen. In an office out around the curve. Anyway, I mentioned about the lures that you use. Some of them only have one hook, but some of them have a lot of hooks. Some of those hooks are not easily found. Amen. But the thing about that, if that fish swallows that lure, I mean, he's going to get hooked, but he's going to get hooked in a lot of different ways. And that's how the devil works. If you swallow what the devil's offering you, there's a bunch of barbs in there, friend. There's a lot of different areas where he's stabbing you here and stabbing you there, cutting you here and cutting you there, got a hold of you here and got a hold of you there. Amen. More than just what you think. So, a lot of times we think of the temptations of the devil just as some simple little thing, some simple little offer to sin. But I'm going to tell you, the devil is very crafty. The devil is very subtle. The devil is a wise operator, and he knows how to work. Amen. He knows how to hide multiple barbs within that one piece of the bait. And it's observable here in this temptation of Christ. Satan attempted to stir within our Lord an impatient haste at satisfying his hunger rather than waiting on God. Can I say right there, let's all hold up a minute and think about that. How hard it is to wait on God. We don't even like to wait on people. Amen. Christmas time, you get in line, and what you're doing in that store, you're thinking, why in the world must they open up another cash register? Amen. And then you get up to the cash register, and you say, why in the world don't they teach people how to count? That sign obviously said 20 items or less in that line you're in. Those people don't know how to count. Amen. They got a lot, and we get all upset. You know why? Because we don't like to wait. We don't like to wait. But one of the hardest things for us to do is to wait on God because we think we can handle it. Amen. We think we've got this time and we can handle it. So that's how the devil was attempting to work on our Lord. He's attempting to do that same thing with you or I. We see that very easily here. He attempted to stir our Lord into an impatient haste. Satisfy that hunger rather than waiting on God. This temptation was, he said, just take this stone or these stones and command them to be bread. Bread, by the way, is a staple food. Very simple. The devil, I think I said it before, the devil didn't say, you know, make cake or make some kind of a confectionery delicacy. He didn't say make something, you know, fancy. He just said something that is a plain Jane need. By the way, a lot of times the devil will show us something that's real simple to us. It's not something big. I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll point out to you what other people are doing that are big things.
That's right.
Well, they're doing a lot. Let me look how bad they're doing it. Then what's it going to hurt me to do this little thing? Amen. He'll show you what they're doing that is very horrendous. I mean, it is terrible what they're doing. And he'll say, you don't have to be that bad. You can be better. You still be the good guy. You still be the best employee, or you still be the, you know, the best in your family. You're just doing this little bit that's wrong. I'm telling you, he tries his best to show us those very bad things that he can tempt us to do some little thing along in that. And, amen. But I'll say this, any sin, when you listen to the devil, it is a gross sin to listen to the devil. Amen. Remember when Potiphar's wife came to Joseph? And she could have used the argument, and maybe did, because Joseph mentioned to her that Potiphar has turned everything over into his hand. He don't even know what he has. He trusts Joseph with it all. She could say, my husband's given you everything. Why not have me? My husband don't even know what's going on. Why not have me? Here's what Joseph said. How can I do this great evil and sin against God? Amen. He wasn't just thinking about sinning against Potiphar. He wasn't just thinking about sinning against Potiphar's wife. By the way, they had made vows together, no doubt. He wasn't thinking about sinning even against his own body, but he was thinking about sinning against God. Amen. We need to remember that sin, even though we might think it's a little thing, is never a little thing. Amen. It's never a little small matter. Amen. Now, when you look back at the temptation of Eve in the Garden of Eden, I say Eve, Adam and Eve together, but Eve's the one that was listening to the devil. Satan offered Eve a substance that would please her appetite. He showed her that fruit. Talked about her hunger. But he wasn't really after just satisfying her physical hunger. He was after that spiritual thing of causing her to sin against God. To disbelieve God. To disobey God. Amen. Amen. The serpent stirred not only Eve's disbelief, but he stirred her pride. He stroked her ego. He said, you know, you could be like God. You could be as gods, knowing good and evil. Amen. And that, again, is what the devil does over and over. And he does this. He does it right here in this connotation with our Lord. He says, you're hungry and you can prove that you're like God. You can prove that your godhood. You can show it right here just by this simple little thing of commanding these stones to be made bread. Amen. I said it before and I'll say it again that the devil, when he approached Eve, did not attack her, although it was an attack. He approached her as a friend with friendly advice. He really wanted to help her. He really had something. By the way, that's how the world works. That's how they work. They're trying to sell you something and they'll approach you. You've got a need. You've got a need. I mean, you can't live without this newest gadget. How old are you? How have you managed to live this long without this newest gadget? And I'm here to help you with it. No, what they really want to do is get some money from you.
Right.
Amen. And by the way, because they know that next year they're going to be back with another gadget, or that one that's got a sticker on it that says new and improved. Amen. Amen. It'll be the 2019 edition. Amen. Next year they'll come out with a new one. Amen. The thing is, they've got a strategy. They call you on the phone. You know what they say? Did you know that the warranty on your vehicle just ran out? Your vehicle's a 1990 model, and the warranty just ran out. And somehow they know it in India or Pakistan. And they call you. What are they trying to help you? Sure, they want to help you. They need your social security number. They need your bank account number. They need all this information so they can help you. Are they willing? Are they interested in helping you? No, but they want you to think they are. Amen. You could just run a million rabbits with that. And that's how the world works. How they learn that from the devil. That's how the devil works. He acts like he's a friend. Amen. You ever seen a car salesman that didn't look friendly? They work on looking friendly. Amen. Amen. Well, let me get. He did not approach Eve as an enemy. He approached Eve as a friend with some friendly advice. He appeared to be on her side against God. I mean, he didn't hide the fact that he's against God. But he really says to Eve, you know, God's against you. He's not as good to you as he ought to be. Amen. And the devil does the same thing with Christ. The Father's not as good. If you're really his son, what's he doing letting you starve to death out here? Now, here's where I'm going with that. He says to Eve, it looks like the way he painted the picture to Eve is that God knew she had a need, but he didn't want to meet that need. That he was unwilling to meet her need. But it appears to Christ that the devil may have approached him and said, here you are out here all alone. You've been out here all this time. And you heard the voice from heaven those 40 days ago. But where's God at now? Does God even know where you are? Does God even care where you are? Does God know how hungry you are? Does God even care how hungry you are? By the way, friend, that's what the devil will say to you in your mind. Nobody knows and nobody cares. Even God don't know, or if he knows, he don't care. That's the devil saying that, friend. That's the devil saying that. Amen. More than likely, there are some people that care. David said, no man cared for my soul. I don't think that David was absolutely right in that. His people loved David. Amen. People say, nobody loves me. That's a lie of the devil. Amen. It's a lie of the devil. He slyly slips in and whispers, where is God? Does he see at all? Does he care at all? He recommends, surely, a stone turned to bread would feed the hunger of Christ. Yeah, it would have. It would have for the time being. But he would have disobeyed the Father. He says it would be a small thing for the Son of God to perform. Sure it would. But he would have displeased the Father. Amen. Now, I'm bringing all that for this one. I'm talking about the diversity in this thing. Bread is physical. Bread is physical. Maybe you could say hunger is physical, but it's also emotional. There's an emotional attachment to eating. And by the way, they talk about emotionally overeating. Some people do. Comfort foods. Right? Comfort foods that don't help our body, generally, they tend to hurt our body, to be honest with you. Amen. Jacob, I'm on your page here now. Holler amen every now and then. All right. But seriously, these comfort foods that we find comforting, cheeseburgers are comforting. They are. I'll tell you something real comforting. A cheeseburger with a milkshake, that'll comfort you. Yeah, with bacon on it. There you go. A bacon cheeseburger with a bacon-flavored milkshake. Amen. It's comfort food, but I'm saying it's physical and it's emotional, but the devil wasn't interested in our Lord's physical, and he wasn't all that interested in his emotional. He's interested in the spiritual.
Yes, sir.
The spiritual. Here's where I'm going with that. The devil will offer you all kinds of physical things. For example, you think of, you let your mind run, and I don't want you to let it go too far, but we think about a lot of times sin, we think of lust, we think of sexual sins. Those things work physically, but I'm telling you they have an emotional effect as well, and they have a spiritual effect as well. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what the devil's after. Many barbs. Hey, listen, a lot of the things people do, drinking affects you physically. Smoking affects you physically. Overeating affects you physically.
Right.
Amen. Starve yourself to death affects your spirit physically. Amen. Just picking. Got to get on this side once in a while. Amen. But seriously, a lot of the things we do, sin, affects us physically. But that's not what the devil's after. I mean, there is a degree that he's after that, because if he can kill us, that shuts our witness or hinders our testimony. Amen. Get us out of the way, get us out of the picture, if he can. I understand that. But his main goal is aiming at God. He's trying to hurt God. He's trying to do something spiritual that affects us in our spirit. Amen. That affects us in our soul. He's after the heart of the Lord Jesus. He wants these temptations, by the way, was not just to feed the flesh of our Lord, not just to feed the ego of our Lord, and you go on, but I tell you what it was about, is to get our Lord subservient to Him, following Him. Amen. Why does the devil introduce you to one thing and then lead on with another? And lead on with another. And lead on with another. He's hooking you more and more and more. Amen. That's what he's after. He's interested in harming the body, sure. But he's after the soul. The battle is for the heart. And many times the battle is in the heart and in the mind. Amen. Amen. If the devil can get you to quit reading your Bible, if the devil can get you to skip prayer, if the devil can get you to miss church, if the devil can get you to miss the words of God, that's what Jesus said was more important than your food. The Word of God. You need the Word of God more than you need anything else. Amen. Amen. I've said this before and I believe it's right. Every community needs a hospital, but more than they need a hospital, they need a church that's preaching the truth. Amen. Every community probably needs a fire department to help put out the fire. But more than they need a fire department, they need a church that's preaching truth to keep people out of eternal fire. Amen. Just go on and on. But the Word of God's more important than any of these things. But you know what the devil do? He'll get us to stay away from the Word. Get focused on something, anything, other than the Word. Amen. Now, when I say this, he is aiming at the heart of our Lord. That's not to say that our Lord had any resentment, any residual sin in his heart, any residence of sin. No. Our Lord's heart was completely shielded by the shield of faith. Praise God. Was able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Our Lord's heart was completely shielded by the breastplate of righteousness, amen, that kept out the darts of the devil and perfectly shielded our Lord's heart, amen. You and I, if we're not careful, we'll let down our guard and we'll allow the barbs of the devil to prick our heart, amen. I read this, David Thomas was an English preacher, lived in the 1800s. He was born 1813, died 1894. Published a book entitled The Genius of the Gospel, Homiletical Commentary of the Gospel of Matthew in 1873. He mentioned, and I used quite a bit of what he said, and I'll deal with it later. He mentioned there's three primary avenues. He called it three impulses of the heart, which Satan appeals to one after the other, and we see it in these temptations. He said there's the avenue of appetite. There's the avenue of ambition. And there's the avenue of avarice, which really means greed. The attitude of appetite, ambition, and avarice. These three agree exactly with what John said in 1 John 2:16. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Amen. Appetite, ambition, and avarice. The appetite, he said this. He said, appetite is the most human and perhaps most powerful of all impulses. Appetite or hunger is the craving of the physical nature, not merely for gratification, but for life. It's a needful thing. Amen. If a baby was born that didn't have an appetite, he wouldn't live long. Amen. You pray that a baby has an appetite. And then you work the rest of your life trying to satisfy that appetite. Amen. Appetite's good. And by the way, all these things have a good quality that the devil loves to fan into an overreaching quality. Amen. This powerful, most powerful of all impulses, this is right, it is the drive to survive. Amen. You've heard the saying, a lot of diet things use this. You ought not live to eat. We ought to eat to live. Amen. It is true. It's a good time to preach this on a big meal. And when we get to go first, praise God. Amen. So if you don't get anything left, just live to eat, not live to eat, eat to live. Amen. But seriously, the drive to survive, when you get a person, what's the word I'm looking for? When you get a person, all right, in a desperate case, you'd be surprised what they'll eat to survive. Amen. You've probably heard it. Jerry Clower told about a guy asking him what his hound dog ate. He said he eats collard greens. He said, you mean Blue eats collard greens? He said, yeah. He said, my dog won't eat them. He said, Blue wouldn't eat them for the first two or three days. Amen. You get hungry enough, you'll eat about anything. There is a natural drive. There is a natural need there, and the devil loves to play on those natural needs. The sex drive is natural, but the devil loves to flame it ablaze and push it beyond the bounds of nature. Right. Amen. Yes. You could use a million things that we could talk about. All right, let me just stay with this. All right, this appetite being one of the most needful and powerful of all impulses. Our mortal existence is dependent upon an appetite. Amen. Now, there's no denying that our Lord would have been capable of turning those stones into bread. Sure he could. He'd very easily, but he did not have the right to do that because the Father hadn't told him to do that. He came not to do his own will, but to do the will of the Father. Let me ask you this, which would have been worse, do his own will or do the devil's will, which is what he would have been doing, or to do God's will? He chose to do God's will, amen, the Father's will, amen. He didn't have the right because he had come. He must remain subservient to the Father's will. Amen. All these divine power that our Lord had, the miracles that He did was to help others. I mentioned before He didn't do it to help Himself. That's not to say that He didn't eat when the multitude was fed. That's not to say that He didn't eat when He had the fish on the coals. I don't know. But He did not do that just for Himself. He did that for others. Amen. Those powers was given Him, and God gave Him that with a right to do it and a restriction on how it was used. The devil tried to get Him to do it beyond His right and beyond the restriction, and that's what he does to you and I as well.
That's right.
Amen. I'll just touch on that about the, I said that about the sexual desire. There's a right place and right way to do that. But the devil tries to push us beyond that restriction.
Right.
And beyond that right. Amen. So let me move on. Our Lord refused to obey the devil in that avenue of appetite. There's a second avenue, and that's the avenue of ambition. And you'll see that in the next temptation when the devil told him, took him up on that high tower and told him, jump off and prove His godhood by the angels would catch Him. That's what he said. The angels would catch Him. And so this ambition to prove what you are. I'm going back to the words of David Thomas. He said, an equally universal impulse and nearly as powerful as the first. The instinct is really a desire for display, approval, and applause. And it is natural and native to all humans. Listen, it is seen in the first dawnings of the intellect in the infant child. When that baby first says, die, you think he has any idea what die means? More than likely not. But he sees the pleasure you get out of it. Amen. He sees, and you encourage him. You encourage him in that. Die, 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 die. All of a sudden you start talking as bad as he's talking.
Right.
And so sometimes you wonder if kids will ever learn to talk plain because mom and daddy talk just as bad as he does when he's talking that way. Amen. But you know what you're doing? You're fanning the flame. And you know what that kid, there's a natural desire in them to be approved of.
Right.
There's a natural desire in them to be applauded. Amen. But that's one way you teach them, you potty train them. Amen. You applaud them when they do it right.
Right.
Amen. And you let them know you're not happy when they don't do it right. Amen. But the idea of being, it's there. You see it even in the little child. Well, let me read what he said. He said it is seen in the first dawnings of the intellect in the infant child from those first words that draw such attention to those little feats of childhood performed to winning applause. The applauding smile of those watching. And by the way, you've seen them. They'll turn to see if you're looking or not. Amen. Even little children are filled with ambition. He says this also abounds in the adult world as well. He's dead right there. A love of self-exhibition can very often be detected by the keen eye, sometimes under the garb of apparently the most genuinely humble person. Amen. He says it doesn't matter if they're a pauper or a prince. They all go through that stage. They have their time of self-manifestation or what we call showmanship when they just want to show you. Amen. Has there ever been a little boy that didn't say, feel that, Dad? Even if there ain't nothing there to feel. And sometimes the little girls see that. And they say, feel that, Dad. Amen. They're proud that they're getting some muscles. They get their first callus. Look at there, Dad. Man, I'm getting as tough as you are. Amen. I can say a lot of things there. I better leave that alone. But you know what they're doing? They're seeking for applause. They're seeking to be approved of. But you see that go right on in people. People like to show their ability at sports. They like to show their ability at intellect, how smart they are. They got a thousand different ways that people like to excel in one area or the other. And by the way, there's nothing wrong when it's in its right and it's in its restrictions.
Right.
But the devil seeks to push it past its right and past its restrictions. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Our Lord had the right to do anything he wanted to do as far, and the angels obey him. But he didn't have the right to disobey God by doing it. Amen. And so he refused. Then there's this last one. Not only the appetite and the ambition, there's the avarice, that the greed, the desire for possession. He says this is no small or feeble instinct in our nature. It is seen as truly in the child that hoards and adds to its stash of toys. That's right, ain't it? You've seen children, they like one toy, but they like two better. They like them all even better than that. Amen. And the one they really want is the one somebody else has got. Amen. That's natural desire in there. To want to have them. You see that in the child. But you can also see that in these merchants, is the way he used it, that cross land and sea in order to try to get some more gain. Always adding to it. Always adding to it. Amen. And so he said it's become a serious evil amongst men. And he's right. Amen. Now this instinct, this desire of possession, again, it's good. It's useful. We ought to want to better ourselves. We ought to want to do more. Amen. There ought to be a gathering in of the harvest that we can have for later. Amen. There ought to be even nothing wrong with laying up for the next generation to come. But when that goes beyond its right and goes beyond its restrictions, then we're in the devil's territory. That's where he wants us to get. Amen. He used that in our Lord. He said, I'll give you all this, all the kingdoms of the world. By the way, let me just back up and say this. Don't you think the Jews would have applauded Christ if he'd have done just what the devil said? What they wanted more than anything was their kingdom. They couldn't care less if it's God or the devil ruling, if they could just get their kingdom. Amen. And most men in the world, that's where they're at today. They couldn't care less if it's God or the devil that rules them, so long as they get their little kingdom.
Right.
Amen. But our Lord said no.
Right.
No. Why? Because his heart was set on doing the right thing. He was willing to accept restrictions. You're talking about God. That's all, by the way, that is all part of him becoming flesh. He's willing to accept restrictions. He's learning obedience. He's learning to say no. He's learning to be told no and accepting the no when the no comes. Amen. The devil's working on all that. Amen. Well, let me get back to that first one now. This thing about this appetite. And by the way, appetite can lead on into the ambition and the avarice that's there. You see it. It's all part of appetite, just in a different avenue of it. Well, we know that our Lord Jesus withstood all these. I've run through them all this morning quickly. Our Lord withstood them all. But Satan used these things that are in man. He's tempting our Lord not as God. He's tempting him as man. Our Lord, listen, he didn't have a wrong appetite, but he had an appetite. Amen. Our Lord didn't have a wrong ambition, but he had an ambition. He had a goal. Amen. Our Lord, avarice is a bad thing. And so there's no greed in our Lord, but our Lord had a gain that he was seeking after. Amen. He prayed about that in John chapter number 17, that they might see the glory that he had back in the beginning with the Father. Amen. He wanted men to see that. But he also wanted these that he had come to save to be with him in glory and to have unity as him and his Father has unity. Amen. He had that ambition. He had that gain as well. Amen. That he's interested in. But it was right. It was proper. Amen. Now, allow me just to close my message by saying a few things, give you a few scriptures. And I'm not going to have you turn to them. In Proverbs, I've got a number. I could have you turn to them, but I'll just read them to you. In the book of Proverbs, and then I've got a couple other places, scriptures that we could hide away in our heart, we could store in our heart, that might grant us a shield of faith when the devil throws his arrows at our appetite, at our ambition, and at our avarice. Proverbs 15, verse 16 says, Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith.
That's right. Amen.
Better off with just a few stones, if that's what God's given you. with little with fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Proverbs 16:8, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Proverbs 17:1. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. Again, there's some things better. You can get gain if you want to. You can get trouble along with it. Proverbs 19:1. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. Amen. Proverbs 28:6. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Ecclesiastes 4:6. Better is an handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. And Matthew 16:26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I read this quote this week. So a little book that I was given that says something about quaint sayings and down homespun wisdom, something like that. And this is what the quote said. It said, never envy the rich man because you don't know what it might have cost him to get those riches. That's true. Hank Williams Sr., and I don't quote him many times, but he wrote a song entitled House of Gold. I looked it up and wrote down the lyrics. He said, some people steal, they cheat and lie for wealth and what it will buy. But don't they know on the judgment day, all that gold and silver will melt away. I'd rather be in a deep dark grave and know that my poor soul was saved than to live in this world in a house of gold and deny my God and doom my soul. By the way, it's not wrong to have gold. It's not wrong to have things. It's how you get it and who you're listening to. He goes on to say, what good is gold and silver too if your heart's not pure and true? Oh, sinner, hear me when I say, fall down upon your knees and pray. I wish he'd heeded that advice. Amen. Amen. It's not wrong to have things. It's not even wrong to be wealthy, but it's wrong to follow the devil's advice in order to obtain that which is out there. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. As we come with a song, invitation time. If the Lord spoke to you and you need to come forth, if you need to be saved, I'd encourage you to call on the Lord while you have time. If you need to come and pray for somebody, pray for yourself, pray about something, I'd encourage you to obey the Lord and do exactly what He says. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, again for the Word of God. Thank You for reminding us that these things that You've put in us, this appetite, this ambition, this desire to maybe have things, Lord, is not wrong in its rightful place. It's not wrong when we allow it to be restricted, and as we say, we play by the rules, we stay within the boundaries. But the devil is constantly trying to get us to do that which is not right, and which we have no right to do. And he's constantly trying to get us to move beyond the boundaries, or as he would say, just move the boundaries. Lord, help us that we'd be obedient unto the Father, as our Lord was. That we'd be obedient unto the Father rather than obeying the flesh, rather than obeying the devil. Lord, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Bless in this time of invitation. Draw sinners and accomplish Your will. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing. The Lord spoke to you. You need to come. I want to give you that opportunity to come while we sing.
154.
154.